Hi everyone. So today, welcome to the third section of CSE 76, and today we're going to be going over the basic Android SDK and also how to install Android on your machine and also some very basic Android apps right now. Okay. So to set up Android on your computer, you would need JDK, which you installed last week. And you'd also need Eclipse and the actual Android SDK. And you can go to these URLs, and these slides are actually on the website already. So you can just copy and paste those URLs into your browser and follow the directions. So more instructions are going to be on the actual Android setup specification that's due soon, and it's already on the website. Sorry. So to create a new project, we're just going to reiterate what Dan said earlier in lecture today. So we open Eclipse, and we go to File, New Project, and then Android Project. It will be in a folder with Android labeled, and you'll see Android Project there. Next step would be to give your project a name. So this, you'd have no spaces in here, and using Java naming conventions, you'd start with a capital letter. Then you create a target and create a package name. And traditional, you'd go to the Java package naming conventions and look at the traditional ways of naming your package, and an example would be com.sovichang.section.android. So you normally don't really have numbers in there. Everything is lowercase in this case. And the last step would be to leave the minimum SDK version blank or give it an API level number. So you'd give it 10 if you wanted to have the minimum SDK be the Gingerbread release 2.3.3. All right, so we'll just go into Eclipse and show you how to do that right now. Okay, so right now, this is Eclipse. You can't really see the actual bar, but if you go to File, New Project, here you get the new project wizard. And in this Android folder, then you get the Android project. So you just click on that and click on Next. Here you want to create a project name. So this is where we're going to usually start with a capital letter and have all letters in our project name. So let's just call it Hello World. Actually, it already counts, so Hello World section. And we click Next. So right now, it already specifies a build target for you, but if you don't want to use Android 4.0, then you can target another SDK, another version. So normally, I would like to target the lowest SDK number. So right now, according to the statistics, Android 1.6 is still not really being used as much, and about 90% of users use Android 2.1 and above. So I'm just going to target Android 2.1. All right, we'll click Next. And now we're going to create our actual application, and this information will go into our Android manifest.xml, which we will take a look at later. So I'm just going to write our package name here. So com.sophiechang.section.android.helloworldsection. The package name does not need to be this long, but if you want to be more descriptive with your packages, you feel free to do so. And here we check this to create a new activity. So every application has at least an activity. This is what the user actually sees. And this minimum SDK actually matches the target that we specified in the previous screen. So we'll click Finish. And we see that there is an error here. So let's see what it is. We actually don't have an error. We're just going to go through. So when you create a new project, it automatically creates this activity for you if you click the Create Activity button. And right here, it calls the onCreate method. We'll go over when this is actually called. And we also set its content view to main. And we'll go over more of the actual details of this application in a few slides. All right. So now we're going to go through the system architecture of Android. So the first layer is the application itself. So this would be phone, email, your contacts. These are all apps within the phone. And you can also create your own applications, which you'll be doing in this course. So the next thing would be the application layer. So this is the views. So this is like the gallery, the linear layout that that Dan mentioned at the end of class. The content providers and also the resources, these include just non-code based things such as layouts, images, and other things. And keeping going down further is the Dalvik virtual machine. So this is a layer that is specifically, it's like a platform specifically made for mobile. And also the Java subset, which is why we're writing Android applications in Java. And the next layer down is the native libraries. So you'll see some of these are pretty familiar, like OpenGL and SQLite, which we'll be going over later in the course. And also the last, the very, very bare bones architecture on the very bottom, very back end, is the actual Linux kernel. And this handles the memory management and the drivers. All right, so to actually package an app, we have to go through all of these steps. So we have to compile it using Java C. So this is the compiler that we used last week to compile Java files. And then we also convert it to the Dalvik bytecode. So this is Java bytecode that you have in your .class files to the Dalvik bytecode. And you're just basically converting between the two instruction sets. And the last thing to do is to create the actual APK. And you're using the tool AAPT. And you get a zip-compatible archive at the end of it. But don't worry about all these steps. If you check the Build Automatically button in Eclipse, so this is, you go to the project, the Build Automatically here. If you check that, if you see the check mark here, then it'll do all of this automatically every single time you save your application or you save a file in your application. All right. Any questions on that so far? Okay. All right, so the next thing we're going to go look at is the resources. So in the .apk package, we have all the non-code files. So this includes images. And we put all of our images into this res folder. And this contains subdirectories for different types of these files. So the drawable contains the images. The layouts contain, obviously, the layouts for the activities. And these are strings.xml. These are the defined constants to be used by the app. So when you first create your application, you get a string called hello, and you also get another string called app_name. And these are automatically generated by Eclipse. And these are just constants that you see. And these three resource elements are the most commonly used when you're making your Android application. So all of these resources are accessed via the R class. And so when you do the build automatically option, they get automatically generated into a file called r.java. So let's look at that now. Okay. So right here we have the res folder. So let's go through that right now. So the first folder where my mouse is the drawable folder. So these are three of the same folder. And the HDPI, MDPI, and LDPI just reference the density per inch of the pixels of the phone's screen resolution. So most phones nowadays are actually HDPI. So let's just look at what's in here. So when you actually start up a new app, you get this ic_launcher.png file. So this is just actually when you run it onto your phone, you get this green Android icon. It's just your default app icon, rather than on iOS when it's just only gray. So that's the drawable, that's what's in the drawable folder. And these are just the same files in just different resolutions. Okay, the next thing is the layout folder. And let's click on main.xml. It's a little slow right now. Okay. So right now you see when you click on main.xml, you get this graphical GUI. And as you can see here, you can actually drag things over different views, like your buttons of view, or checkboxes of view. And you can drag it over here. If you want to do it by XML, you can click on this thing on the bottom. There's a menu right here. You can click between the two views, between the GUI layout and also the code layout. And right here, this is your very basic, bare bones layout right now. So it just has a linear layout that encapsulates the whole view and also the actual text view where it says, hello world. And we can actually run this program right now. So you would run it by saying run. Actually, we can just do it here. So we have hello world section. We click on that. We right click it. And then we go here to run as. And then we want to run it as an Android application. So we can do that here. Okay. So I'm going to show you how it looks on the document camera. So as you can see here, we have a Hello World section application right here. So this green Android icon is the default app icon that comes when you automatically install it on Eclipse. And this is the Hello World section, where this is the actual application name. And we can just click this, and we see that our activity, is our text view says, hello world section activity. Okay. All right, so any questions on that so far? Okay. So the next step is to actually look at application components. So the application components consist of the activity. So this is what you see on the screen. So this is similar to our Hello World section activity. That's what you actually see. And the next component after that is the services. And this is just the code without a visual component that runs in the background. So this is similar to parsing some JSON or XML, similar to what you did in mobile local. And the next thing is the broadcast receiver. So this responds to system events such as low battery or if you have an alarm. And the next thing is content provider. So this makes your app data accessible to other apps. So in Android, you're allowed to actually search through other apps. So when you have the Google search app on your phone, then you can actually sometimes search the contents of the application if you let it within your own app. Right. The next thing is we're going to look at is the life cycles of an activity. So there are three stages of an activity. So we have running, then we have paused, and then stopped. So running is what you actually see at the foreground. So this is when we actually looked at our Hello World, the activity that was at the front was our Hello World text view main layout. And it has focus because if you had another element on there, you can actually touch it and you can play around and interact with the app. The next one would be paused. So that means it lost focus, but it's still visible to the user. And the last stage is stopped. So this means that you can no longer see the actual activity. So because Android, the phone doesn't have unlimited memory, sometimes it runs low, and we have to make sure that we only rely on apps that are actually running rather than just paused. All right, the next thing, we're just going to go look at all of these methods here. So the onCreate, which is the one that is created right when you start an app or right when you actually start an activity, is the one that is automatically generated by Eclipse. So you mostly do all the initialization there, such as like grabbing the actual views and allowing the user to interact with them, and also maybe setting some default values that the user sees. And we'll go over and look at this later. And on start, this is actually the order of which it is being called. So on start is when it's about to be displayed to the user. On restart is stopped to running. On pause, running to pause. On resume, pause to running. On stop, pause to stopped. And on destroy is when the process is killed, either from being stopped or paused. So this is like most likely used when you don't want to use the app anymore or when Android just runs out of memory. All right, so we're just going to go over how to create an actual activity. So as you can see, you can have the activities automatically generated for you when you go into the Eclipse new project wizard. And the next thing, we can also create activities by right-clicking the package and then go to new and then class. That's how we can add a new Java file, not necessarily an activity, but just any file that is associated with your project. And we can define the layout of the activity by using the Java file within the activity that you see, or within the XML, which is what we just saw with the GUI interface and also the code XML. And we also add the layout file to the activity by using the command set content view. And the last thing you have to remember is that you have to add the activity to the Android manifest.xml file, otherwise your app will crash. So we can actually go through that right now. Actually, we're going to go through intents first. So intents are basically things such as activities, services, broadcast receivers, and these are all triggered by intents. And an intent basically is an object containing an operation to be performed. And we are just going to create new intents when we want to switch between activities. So intent I equals new intent context. So usually the context is, we usually call this meaning that we are using the activities context. And class is the name of the class file of the next activity you want to go to. And we can start a new activity with the command start activity I, with I being the intent that you defined right here. Okay. All right, so we're going to go through that right now in Eclipse. So let's go to Android Primer 2. So let's open up this activity. So right now, we have super.onCreate. So we're calling this onCreate method when we're first opening the app, because the app automatically goes to this one based on what you put in the Android manifest file. And right here, we're setting the content view to be the main.xml file. There's actually nothing in there yet. Actually, maybe. We'll actually look at the main.xml file here. So in here, we're basically doing the same layout as it came with the original Hello World file, but I just added a button here. So you can actually see how the layout looks by going to the graphical layout. And as you can see, there is a button here saying press me. And this button, we give it an ID and its various attributes here. So to give it the button some text, we just write the name Android text equals press me, And this Android on click is just basically your on click method when you want to press the button. It's like the next function that you write or the next function that you execute when the button is clicked. You can also edit this down here. If you go to properties, you can press the actual button here. And as you can see, there are many properties to a button down here. Let's pull this up a little higher. And here, you don't really need to worry about anything. You only have to worry about things that you're actually going to use. So we're actually going to use the ID, since we're going to, that's always very useful. And the onClick method, this correlates to what you actually put into your XML file. And you also have the text of the button. And with every view, you need to make sure that you write the layout height and layout width. These are really important. So wrap content is an attribute. And it just, like, let's just say your button name, your button text has a lot of words, so you just say like "Hello World," and your button text will be very large. So that just means that your height and width of the button will be very long. So we can actually test that through here. So let's just change the text here and say "Hello World," "Hello CSE 76," and as you can see, the button width changed because it was actually wrapping the content of the text of the button. And we're just going to put this back to press me. All right. And same thing as layout height. So if you actually specify a layout width and you put layout height as wrap content, then the button will be elongated. Okay. Any questions on that so far? Okay. So let's actually run this. So this button is actually where we're going to start a new intent, and we're actually going to switch the activity. So we're actually creating an application with two activities rather than just one, as you've seen in the last example. So right here, as you remember, button pressed is our onClick method that we specified in our XML. And right here, we're creating a new intent. So this is the context of the activity. And we're switching it to switchedActivity.class. The switchedActivity.java file is here. But since we use the build automatically command, then we already created a .class file there. So you don't really need to worry about compiling the Java file. And the last step that we had to do was start the activity, that this intent is pointing to. Any questions there? That might have been a little bit confusing. Yeah. When you go to a new view? When you go to the button press thing, that's still in the activity, so the activity is still going to be running. So the question was, will the variable be maintained? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Oh, so let's just say we had a variable in this file, and then will it be over to the switched activity? Only, we can't really, that's not usually Android practice. We usually just pass the variable on to the next activity. And you can use this using bundles, which we might go over later in the course. Okay, so let's just go ahead and run this activity. So the switched activity is very basic, and the switchedActivity.xml basically has just the text view with successfully switched activity. So let's run this to demonstrate the functionality of switching intents. Okay. Okay, as you can see, we just got an error message. I'm just going to actually do that again, since you might not have seen that as I was unlocking my phone. So as you can see here, we got an error message saying that something was wrong with one of our steps. So we can actually see what went wrong using the Logcat. I'll actually show it on the big screen now. So right here is the Logcat. We use this to debug. And as you can see, we have this red everywhere. That means it's an error, and it would make our program crash. So let's look at what went wrong here. So the thing is a runtime exception, unable to instantiate activity. So normally, why this happens is that we did not instantiate this activity in the Android manifest folder or file. So let's actually open that now. As you can see here, the activity here where we would actually instantiate it is actually commented out. So we just need to uncomment that. And we can run the program again, and we can actually see what is going wrong. So let's go to the document camera, press force close. We run as Android application. Let's see it run now. It should go onto the screen soon. Okay, so let's run as Android application. All right, so did that again. So let's look at our Logcat again and see what happened. Same problem. So as you can see, we had the same problem here. Activity. So if this doesn't work, we usually just write it as you can see, .2.androidprimer2activity works. So this actually isn't correct since our package is only .2 and we didn't put this in a separate package. So this is what's wrong here. So actually naming your packages correctly is very important. So let's try this again. Okay, so as you can see, that was actually the error. We actually had two errors in our Android manifest file, the first one being we didn't instantiate the activity, and the second one being that the activity that we referenced was not the correct one because of the packaging. So let's go here. So as you can see, we have our press me button. This is similar to what we saw in our graphical layout. And we can press the button. And as you can see, we switched to a new activity. And we successfully switched activities according to our app. All right, any questions on that? Yeah. The Logcat or the?
It should have button like at the top of the link button.
The button? Actually. Was it on Eclipse or was it? Okay. So on this side or? Were you talking about on this left side or were you talking? This would only be the case if you actually had a problem with your code. So let's just say we got rid of something here. We're just going to get rid of that. As you can see, we had a whole bunch of errors all of a sudden. So this is what happens. We now know that we have a problem in Android Primer 2 activity.java. This is just because we just deleted a package, and all the methods associated with that package are now, they just are not referenced to anything. So when you have this, I guess the first step when you see so much red is to actually see if you included all the libraries. So The step I use on a Mac is Command-Shift-O. And as you can see, that just automatically imports all your libraries. So now you see we have this library back again. And then we save it, and the red is gone. Okay. Another cool trick, if you want your code to be really pretty, is to let's just make it like this. We can use the Command-Shift-F button, or command. And as you can see, it automatically formats our code for us to make it look pretty, so you don't really have to worry about style there. All right, so let's just go back to our PowerPoint here. So the next element that we're going to go through is the layout. So every GUI element is represented by an XML element. So an example of this would be what on that main.xml file where we had that linear layout, that just is, the linear layout is actually a GUI element. It just is the main layout for what we're using. And here we specified some attributes such as the layout width and the layout height. So usually when we have like a main layout, the parent layout, the one that is encapsulating all the actual GUI elements inside, we want to actually have it fill parent. So fill parent just fills the whole space that it's given. So when we have a parent element, we want it to fill the parent because we want to fill the whole phone. The next thing, other GUI elements must be encapsulated in layouts. So layouts themselves are pretty special. So when you have the XML file, you want to only have a parent layout. So you can always encapsulate other layouts within this big parent layout, but the main thing is that you want to have like one huge parent and insert everything inside. So there's differences between the layouts. So this frame layout, this contains a single layout. The linear layout, which we've seen in the last two Android examples, the elements are arranged horizontally or vertically. And table layout works similar to an HTML table. And the relative layout, elements are arranged relative to others. So we're actually going to be going over the relative layout in our next example after we're done with these PowerPoint slides. So as you see, an app can consist of many activities. So users navigate among activities by either interacting with them, maybe something special happened, such as a button got clicked or something. And the app maintains an internal stack of them. And that's when you can press like the back button, it'll go through that activity stack and show the one that you just had. So a task is a sequence of activities amongst potentially different apps. So a user can proceed from one app to another. An example of this is emailing a photo. So when you usually take a photo or you look in your gallery for a photo to email. So that's the gallery app, and then you go to the mail app to email this photo in the end. And you can also use intent filters. So you can select the app they want to use to complete a step in a task. So when you have the Android manifest file, which we can look at later, there's actually an intent filter. Let's go to the actual manifest file. So an intent filter, as you can see, we labeled it right here in our Android manifest file. And the action that we want it to give is the main. So this is usually the first thing that you see, the first activity that gets called when you open an app. And launcher, same thing goes with that. It's in that category. If you don't really know what actions there are and what categories there are, you can usually Google it out on the internet and see. But usually we have intent filters used for the launcher, and also if you want to create special alarms within your app, similar to how calendars can give you reminders when the time comes. Okay. And Android also supports multitasking, so this is like using several different activities at once, unrelated, of course. All right. So the next thing we're going to look at is AVDs. These are called Android virtual devices. So this is the Android emulator that you saw Dan use earlier in the lecture. So this allows you to simulate a specific device. So when you create one, you can give it a certain amount of memory and tell it what version of Android to use. And you can also give it a dedicated storage, so special apps and settings that you want already pre-installed. And the next thing is the other options, which are the screen dimensions. So this is really helpful when you're trying to test your app. There are a lot of Android devices of different sizes. So you can test how your app looks on these apps based on the dimensions you give it in the Android AVD setup manager. So the next thing we're going to do is how to create an AVD. So we go into here, Eclipse, Window, Android SDK, and AVD Manager, and go New. But now it's actually just the AVD Manager. And we can also run the Android command from the SDK/tools folder where your Android SDK is actually located on your computer. And when you can actually select which AVD to use when debugging in Eclipse. So you would go to here, run configurations, and then Android application. So if you have two or more Android devices connected to your computer, if they're open right now, as you can see from the last example, when I was trying to run the Android Primer 2, we saw that we got this menu up with two different devices. So it just is asking which device do you want to use to debug. And for the last few times, I've just been using the actual device that I have rather than the emulator. Right. So this is the last slide we have before going to the next example. So we're just going to show you how to run on an AVD. So we would start the emulator by running this command, emulator-avd command name. If that's a little too complicated, usually we don't have to do that. We can just run the project, and an emulator will start if you want it to. The simulator startup is very slow, so you don't close it every single time you want to run it. So if you just are developing all at once, you should just probably leave the emulator active and just don't quit the emulator program, because it's actually simulating the hardware of the phone when you're creating it and when you're actually turning it on when you want to run your application. So it can take anywhere from like a minute to like 10 minutes even to actually start up an emulator based on the requirements that you gave it. And Eclipse will just use an active simulator if there is one. So it would be no problem if you just had like one simulator open and you kept it open the whole time. All right, so we're just going to go through the next example. So let's go through that. So right here, we have the Android Primer 3 activity. So as usual, we have the onCreate method. This is just going to be basic onCreate method. And this updateText method is actually using the Android onClick function that I just showed you in the last example. And we'll go through it line by line again in more detail. But here, we're actually instantiating the views that we're going to be looking at when we actually update the text, as this method says. And these are just views that we're going to see. And let's just go through the layout. This is a good example of different layouts that we can use. So as you can see here, we have a relative layout rather than a linear layout. And we're filling the parent because we want the activity to fill the whole screen. So let's see here. As you can see, this XML file only has one large parent, and in here we have different UI elements. So the first one is just similar to a prompt, Second one is an edit text view. So let's go to the graphical layout. As you can see here, this is an edit text view. So when you actually press on somewhere within that view, you'll get a keyboard that comes out and you can type something in there. And this is a submit button. So this is similar to the press me button in the last example. So we'll go back to here. So we, as you can see here, we have more attributes. In a relative layout, we need to actually decide or let the computer know where each of these layout elements need to be relative to each other. So we have here, we have this Android layout below at ID/changing text. So right here, it looks at where changing text is, and that's right here. So when you have this layout below button, you have to make sure that the element that you're referencing is higher in order on this XML file. Not necessarily like on the screen, but just in this file. And you can use Android layout below. And we also have down here, as you can see, the button was next to the edit text field. So we have the Android layout to right of. So if you have a relative layout and you don't put anything, any of these layout below, layout to right of kinds of attributes, then everything will be piled on top of each other. So just keep in mind that when you're using a relative layout, you make sure you have the all of these attributes here. Okay, so as you can see here from this layout, we have a hello, what's your name? And then we have like a prompt enter name here. And then we have an edit text button so you can actually write your name in there. And then you submit it. So we can, let's go through our code line by line. And as you can see here, we have an edit text field. So when we actually want to grab some information from any of the UI elements, you need to actually call it, and you actually need to find the view within the layout element. So when you have this.findViewById, the this that it's looking for is within the setContentView call. And the this is referencing the layout of the activity. So r.layout.main is referencing main.xml right here. And the next thing is the text view, changing text. So that's actually the hello, what's your name part on the top of the screen here. That's the changing text view. And the next thing is that we're actually going to change that text view's text using the set text command. And we're just going to do hello, comma, space, plus the name input.getText, so we're getting the text that was inputted in this name input. And if you don't put anything in there and you just press the submit button automatically, then it's just an empty string. All right, so let's just run this program now. All right, we'll run it as an Android application. Actually, let's just show you here. So right here is you have the different devices that are online right now. So the first one is the emulator. I'll show you how to make one and how it runs. And the bottom one is my HTC phone that's in the document camera right now. And below here, if you are not satisfied with any of these options right here, you can launch a new one or you can create a new one in the next view that I'll show you. So actually, let's just run it off my phone. Unlock it first. Okay, so let's run it here. So let's look at our problem here. So it's probably the packaging thing, so I will actually do that one myself. We'll run it again. Okay. We'll actually run it again. Okay. So right here, as you can see, we have a hello, what's your name? Enter your name here. And then we have the edit text, and we have this submit button here. So let's just interact with the app a little bit. So let's just say my name is actually Sophie, so I'm going to enter that here. And we'll press the submit button. And now, as you can see, the text changed here from hello, what's your name, to hello, Sophie. All right, any questions on how that app worked? Okay. So let's just go through, since we have like 5 minutes left, let's go over how to create an AVD. So we go to here, Window, and we have this AVD manager right here. We click on that. As you can see, I've made various AVDs over time. So let's just create a new one. I don't have an ice cream sandwich one yet. So let's just say section AVD. There's actually no real naming conventions for AVDs, so it's okay to name it however you'd like. So let's see, what do we want to target? We'll just target ice cream sandwich, API level 14, using Google APIs, in case I want to use maps with this later. So we can also create the size of the SD card, so the external memory on the Android device. Let's just put 8. That's actually too much. So actually we need at least, let's put 8 gigabytes since that's standard. And we have all these different kinds of devices. So right now it's on the default, but we can also use the other devices. But I'm just going to keep it on default. You can also change the resolution if you're not satisfied with any of those. And we can keep these the same, and that's how you create an AVD. Okay, well, all right. So that's actually taking a long time since it's simulating, trying to simulate the hardware and seeing if the AVD is valid. All right. Okay, well, now that we've seen an AVD, we can actually just see an example of one, what one looks like. So that's this window right here. As you can see, this is the emulator, and I actually, there's apps already installed on the emulator without, these are the default apps that are already installed on the emulator. So if you're having, if you're creating an app that you're testing with the emulator and you're interacting with any of these apps, then it's totally fine. So let's just say you have a web view and you're looking at the browser. There is the browser app already on this emulator, so you don't need to worry about that. Okay. So thanks for coming to today's section. Hope to see you in the next week, and good luck on these Android setup projects.